Hello, welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovka, but no postcode.
All right. Run it back.
Again. Hello, and welcome to Sprovcast, the English language
Sprovcast.
I know, jeez.
Sprovcast.
All right, take three. Hello and welcome to Sprovcast, the English language Sprovka but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
Ha! You don't own the pavements.
Wow, that came out of nowhere.
Came out of court, I think you'll find.
Yeah. Do you want to fill in the listeners as to what that was?
Not really,
what
no.
That is? No?
No, just leave it hanging.
All right.
No, we might get a stadium apparently, but that doesn't really matter right now.
No, we've got bigger fish to fry.
How are you going to fill a stadium against Slavoj Vyshehrad?
Or possibly Vyshkov next year, depending on whatever ruling that is.
I would unashamedly love to see Vyshkov in the FNL.
Yeah, 35 minutes on the train, I'll have that.
Fucking the South Moravian soccer powerhouse, baby.
Yeah. We're not going to be talking about that tonight, the South Moravian soccer powerhouse. We're going to be talking about Zbrovka, unfortunately.
Indeed.
We've got two games to look back on. Teplice and Banik Ostrava. Three games.
Yes, we also played Slovatsko.
Christ, we did, didn't we? I haven't prepared anything for that.
It'll be fun then.
Because I completely forgot about it. It's a long time ago now, 2.5 weeks now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Those things. Bit of the podcast, hot or not. We've got a railway station jingle for you. The most northern Moravia, the North Moravian brown coal basin, or whatever they call the bit around Ostrava. And two previews, Mladar Boleslav and Slovan Liberec. So, seeing as I have prepared nothing for Slovatsko and you didn't see it,
mm-hmm.
Should we do that, or should we go straight on to Teplice?
Oh, no, absolutely. A commitment to the craft, David, means that we delve into Slovatsko.
Ah, Christ. All right, that after this, then. So what is there to say about Slovatsko?
Would you like to hear what my notes say about the Slovatsko game?
Yes.
Which finished, of course, Slovatsko 4, Zbrovka Brno 2.
Yes.
I didn't see this because I was working. The sweet release. I have, as usual, a very little notes on the actual game. My notes are two things,
yep.
Which just say they're both not penalties, and what the fuck is Rudolf Reiter doing?
Yeah, that sums it up quite well. That was a penalty for each side.
Mm-hmm.
Sporavka's was
Jan Hladík running into the box, going quite far wide, like ball
That's
is
right,
almost
yeah.
running out, gets cleaned out by Slovatsko's goalkeeper. And I can't remember Slovatsko's goalie off the top of my head right now. And for me, that isn't a penalty. There's a big shout for it and it's given, but I think that the goalie gets the ball.
The other one was the penalty for Slovatsko, which is
Pavel Drexa breathing on someone, I think.
Yeah, he does that thing where he comes across behind his man to try and get goal side of him, barely touches him, and over your man goes.
Yeah. I think the contact is really minimal.
But there again, nobody shouts for that,
mm-hmm.
and play continues for about a minute or so, and then it gets VAR'd. So
it's so used to walking about. I'm glad I didn't have the agony of this at the time, because of course Borovka, we're two goals down before levelling it up. And then
yeah, we brought it back to 2-2. We were looking really good. Mm-hmm. And then that happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The goals are kind of a bit tragic, I thought. At least the ones that we conceded.
Mm.
Which is what I thought. Like, I watched them a couple of times. And, it might be the worst wall I've seen us ever have. So they, like
yeah.
it's very weird. It's like you know, in the Is it the mask, you know, where, you know, your mask guy, he can sort of like bend his body around shit sometimes.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Like that seemed to be what Rudolf Reiter was doing as part of the wall before then, standing there with his mouth like a codfish, like going, what happened there? Well, I'll tell you what, you're supposed to get in the way of the ball. It's a wall. It's, I mean, the goal is quite well taken, but I mean, I would also take goals well if I was against no wall in such a promising part of the pitch. So there was that I wanted to point out. And also the fact that I think Reiter completely sells the jersey for the second one as well, I think, where he just absolutely just fucks it. It was this one. I just had a couple of things I'm just throwing out in no real order. What a lovely ball for the equaliser.
I remember very little of this game. It was a very long time ago, and I'm old.
Yeah.
So I can't remember as far back as 3 weeks.
Yeah. Here's where his broadcast falls down, because I usually get on you to do a list sort of stuff for what happened to the game, and I go, yeah, because at the game I'm usually either like upset or drunk. But it's a lovely little sort of wee chipped ball through. I think
that's that goes right. On it
to,
is, isn't it?
Does it go to Jan Fladik? I think who. I think it's a Hadladic brace, is it, for the...
It is. Yeah, it's a really nice one. It was one of those games where, and we tend to do this, we step it up against teams who are good because they tend to play a bit more expansive football because they're on the front foot, which gives us a bit of room to play in.
Yeah.
We will see the opposite of that happening very shortly. But, we lost 4-2 and... When it was 2-2, we thought we can get something from this. But Slovacko are just a very, very good football team. You know, they're a more than competent side, doing very, very well this year.
Yeah.
It was a loss, but it wasn't a bad game. It was an entertaining enough game. So,
I mean, I always miss the entertaining games, don't I? I don't know if it's just because we, you know, that's just a few words on the defeat, if it's just worth us now just running straight through to talking about the following game. Or would you like a musical interlude?
We'll have a little musical interlude first because it makes it easier for me to do the dividing on the... Like, I can write it on the running order on the thing.
Oh, I see. So, oh, yeah, of course. For you know, the five people that use SoundCloud rather than other podcasting platforms.
No, because it takes that metadata and it puts it onto every platform. Oh, so it's on Spotify and it's on iTunes and whatever as well.
Have you seen the bot accounts commenting under our tracks on SoundCloud, by the way. But it's just like, you know, you're halfway through this absolutely abject game against, you know, Subram, and it's like, yo, dope track, follow me to you know, get 100,000 views.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully they'll keep telling us those are dope tracks.
Yeah, well, but... no. How's this for a link, right? No tracks, but a lot of dopes coming after this.
Yeah, we were then home to Teplice, and this was an absolute must-win, because they are...
fucking dreadful.
They're dreadful, and there are sort of four teams ready to go into three relegation spaces, and they're very much one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So this was we really needed to win this. Did we win this, Sam?
Did we even show up, David?
You see, I've got no notes for this either. The only things I've got are two sets of quotes...
Oh, okay. I like this is kind of a new sort of like sort of.
I was
chatty.
Just frankly, I was just too sick of it to go back and watch the in very inverted commas highlights.
Of Zbrojovka nil, Teplice nil.
Yeah, this is a Teplice side who we played against 10 men for 45 minutes, basically, and 9 men for quite a lot of that as well. So it finished 0-0. It was. Possibly not just one of the worst games of football, but one of the worst any sort of sporting encounters I've ever had the misfortune to be in any way subjected to. It was utterly, utterly appalling.
Nothing happened either. It was just, it was very much, you know, like the Simpsons open wide for some soccer, just holds it. Holds it, but don't. But like, imagine Zbrojovka like holding it and then just under zero pressure, it going out for a throw.
Yeah,
that's really what happened here.
Yeah, so I've got two sets of quotes. One from Richard Ostalek So this is the coach after the game, after a home 0-0 against nine men that we really desperately needed to win. This is why he's paid the big bucks, okay? Quote, "We're disappointed, of course. The boys weren't playing with clear heads. We looked nervous and didn't put any pressure on our opponents. It's true we're not doing very well at home, and if I knew how to change it, I would."
That sums it up.
We will fight them on the beaches.
From Stettin in the north.
Yes, to, exactly.
Yeah. It's just sort of like the pathetic sort of mumbled half excuses at this point.
It really is. Like even things like, you know, the boys weren't playing with clear heads, they looked nervous, we didn't put any pressure on the opponent. Whose job is it to get them ready mentally? Get them to put pressure on the opponent? You know, work on things so when it comes to set pieces, they won't look nervous and they know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's contrast this.
I was just looking up there because I couldn't remember, because I was like, here we're against 10 men, but I wasn't sure we were, like, they never went down to 9 men. And then I remember that Mazouk was subbed on, so that's why you would probably say it was against 9 men, yeah.
This is Rudy Reiter.
I was going to say, you have to have Reiter.
Who Sam did say was at fault for the first goal against Slatsko, which he was.
Oh, and the second.
But bear in mind, of course, right, this is a quote from Reiter, who isn't even our player.
Yeah.
He's on loan from Bani Kostroma, right? And his quotes to the media afterwards were, quote, "We pass, and then lose the ball. We deserved absolutely nothing. Our individual quality is utterly pathetic. There is not a single one of us who deserves to look in the mirror and say we did all we could." Love it.
Yeah, I hope he goes at the end of the season, to be honest with you. I don't know, like, I was thinking about this, actually, specifically about him. And I think that, like, Banik Ostrava have sort of played a little bit of a blinder here, because Rudolf Reiter runs for a wee bit, and then he gets injured and is out for ages and then comes back. And saying this, he's absolutely right, of course, but it's, I don't think he's the sort of player that we need right now.
No, he's not, but it's like the whole point of using these two quotes was to say that, you know,
contrast it, doesn't
it? Exactly. If a guy who's, as you said, injured half the time, isn't even our player, is the one who's going to the media absolutely fucking furious with everyone, including himself, you know, screaming at people on the pitch, trying to get something, anything working. Mm-hmm. And the manager is the one going, well, you know, if I knew what to do, I'd probably do it. But, you know, I don't really, really know what's going on. So.
I'll tell you what you could have done. Why the fuck did he bench Texel?
Yes.
That's the first thing that jumped out of me. It's sort of like, who has been comfortably our best player in the past like 6 weeks? Oh, it's Texel. Ah, you know, I just don't fancy him today. Yeah. Fuck off, man. Did we not start Rusek up front, or am I misremembering things?
Wait, no, we started Rusek in midfield.
Yeah, like, don't let him near our squad right now. Like, I mean, I've had enough of our sad sob stories about poor old Tonda Rusek right now, whatever. Don't let him play. He's chronic right now.
Yeah.
And it's just really annoying.
Play people in form in the position they're supposed to be playing in. Controversial, I know. But, you know, if we're sort of playing the odds here.
The annoying thing is that there were some things that I thought were kind of quite right. We had Hladik up front, I think, as part of this, the 4-1-4-1, as well as Adam Fosek, yep. I believe, with the bit where we have Pakhlopnik also in the middle, and Moravets Moravets went back, didn't he? Went back into a more defensive role.
Yeah,
I like it when you have Moravets and Pakhlopnik linking up, but it was just. I'm struggling to remember any moment really from the game apart from the red card. Really, it just didn't look like a team. It looked like a team that's, you know, cruising its way to 12th, who didn't really give a fuck about this.
It was rank
rather
was absolutely
than the energy
rank.
That you want to to really try and save yourself.
Yeah, no one taking responsibility for anything, as Reiter said, and as has been our problem. It's pass. Oh shit, we've lost it.
Yeah.
Just absolutely, absolutely rank. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was fun.
the players got docked wages, didn't they?
Yes, that's the other thing.
We've done this several times before. We did it a few times under Schuster, and if I remember correctly, it never worked ever. We did it under Mihalek as well.
It's such a mad tactic. Like, you know, these boys look absolutely bereft of confidence, completely and utterly shot, don't know where to turn, don't look like they've got any support from anyone. What are you going to do? Dock their wages. That's the way to get morale and them
the
fighting for each other, isn't it?
Until Jesus. Morale improves.
Yes, exactly.
it's quite funny just looking on the outside, isn't it? I'm kind of glad that we've had, and I'm not glad for COVID and the lockdown, right? But I'm kind of glad that we're not in stadiums, because I feel I would have done something, you know, sort of like Fathers for Justice desperate, like just like shimmy up the one of the floodlight masks dressed as fucking Spider-Man or something like that. Just going, shite! It's all shite! It's completely shite!
Dressed as Kurtacek. on the roof.
Yeah. my chubby little body blowing in the wind. Horrible, horrible football though, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know what the frustrating thing is? Still didn't properly relegate us that weekend because the people around us didn't win either. The only notable result that happened that weekend was that Shepram won to bring themselves within a point of us in the relegation spots. But that doesn't really matter. I don't give a fuck up Shepram or Opava do right now. Well, I do, you know, against Opava because we're going to be playing them. But if they win all their matches, fine, because we still need to win all our matches really to have any sort of chance of doing it.
Yeah. Anyway, that's...
And now we're on to, from last chance saloon to last chance saloon.
Yeah.
And then after this, it'll be last chance saloon, then we'll go down. in the words of Petr Cech, that's football.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up again.
Sorry.
That's all right. I might play a little bit in the break. Instead of the normal musical sting, should we have a bit of That's Football with Petr Cech featuring the drummer from Queen?
Can I just point out, like, I mean, I would absolutely have Petr Cech playing for Zbrojovka in hockey gear up front, and I think it would still be a marked improvement on what we saw in Teplice.
Absolutely. Right, down with this sort of thing. Shall we head up to North Moravia?
Let's do that. Have a second team.
Yeah.
Co-tenants of the
The Vitkovice Athletic Stadium. Yeah. Or Arena Ostrava !!
I love that somebody got paid a lot of money for 3 exclamation marks, didn't
they? Yeah, that, although it has sort, like, it's very definitely become a like their city's symbol, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. What I really like is I think their main library also has it. Kniehovna! Quiet! Exclamation marks!
I always bring this up, but it's like the it's that fucking whiskey pub in Glasgow called Dram!
Dram! Yes. I went there while I was waiting for you to come out of a lecture. It's quite a nice pub. Yeah. I sat there, I was supposed to be working, I played Football Manager instead.
Yeah. Used to be a lot better when it was called Ishkabe and it didn't really have any windows. It's now too light now. It was a proper sort of weird sort of like the dank sort of a drinking hole before that. Oh, Glasgow, I hope you're well. Anyway, yeah. Banik Ostrava away.
Banik Ostrava away. This
shaping
was
up to be a shame after the Teplice game.
Yeah, and again, we stepped it up to their level. Banik are a decent team. They're ensconced quite happily in mid-table. Nothing really to play for. Yeah, and it finished 1-1. It's, yeah, ugh.
Could have been 3 points.
Could have been. Like, we were decent. It was a good game. Like, not a lot happened, but it was quite intriguing in a way.
Yeah.
I would say fascinating tactical battle, but that would be, you know, the word fascinating is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence, I feel. But
I don't know about that. A bit of fascinating, fucking tactical as well, at least from us, man.
Well, actually, again, this was a... let's say this. The first half finished 0-0, and it was pretty even. We were very good in the first 10 minutes and very good in the last 10 minutes. The middle bit, Ostrava were kind of all over us. But then we came out for the second half. Ostrava, actually, neither team had made any subs, I think. And for the first 15 minutes, we were absolutely battered. And again, it was Dostalek on the sidelines going, they've done something here. What have they done? The football's being played different. What's happened? What do I do? We were just absolutely under the cosh so much for the first 15 of the second half.
Pacing on the sidelines in his silly wee hat like a crap Lennon.
Stupid trackies, yeah. Anyway, what happened? Like I said, first 10 minutes, we're very good. We come out the blocks very, very strongly. After 3 minutes, Folsek crosses it. Rusek gets across his man very well and side foot volleys it straight down Jan Lushtovka's throat. Ex-Fulham and Spurs backup goalie Jan Lushtovka. At the age of 309, still turning out for Banik there. 10 minutes, Daniel Tetor, who was very good for Banik throughout the whole game.
Good all season.
Yes. Cuts the ball back from the right. Pernitzer gets in the way, and it is save of the game from Berkovets to turn it away so Pernitzer doesn't score an own goal. It is a hell of a save. Gets up
behind
quickly.
The man over him, right?
Yeah, behind, over, big hand over the bar. Fantastic save. Yeah, it's a very, very congested central midfield. They looked at some sort of heat maps because it was on proper telly.
Uh-huh.
So they looked at heat maps at half time and it was just all sort of the, you know, a sort of 30-yard sandwich within central midfield. So it was very, very tight. Second half, Banik start very well and we gift them the lead or... Pav Drexler gifts them the lead. 52 minutes. Drexler receives the ball. David Buchter is... I wrote bearing down on him. He's not. He's sort of jogging towards him a bit.
Yeah.
And Drexler gives the ball straight to him.
Yeah, it's... Right. This is one moment that I was thinking on and focusing on in this game. And there's generally, would you say that Pavel Drex has been a good acquisition for Zbrojovka? I would say probably yes.
Yes.
But there's a reason that Pavel Drex plays for Zbrojovka and doesn't play for...
Bohemka, where we got him from.
Anymore.
Yes.
Even. Or Sigma. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even as Zlín, maybe. Because he will every so often just do... stuff like this, or defend poorly, or forget his man.
Yeah.
And he gives us that
muscle.
He's got
a massive ricket in him.
Yeah. And I think that maybe sums up our squad. It's a bunch of players that don't play for...
90 minutes.
Good. But like a team that's, you know, going to finish 7th or 8th in the table for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was having a sip of cider there. Yeah. As you said, you know, big sort of, you know, commanding centre-half, shouts a lot, but has the odd massive, massive brain fart in him. Yeah. And this was one of them. Like, he gives the ball straight to Buchter. Buchter goes past him and he's just got to slip it past Berkovets into the net, really. After that, Buchter has another half chance, as does Martin Filho, and Rusek has a sort of a half chance as well. But again, nothing massively clear-cut. And we slowly start getting back into it. But on 78 minutes, Sladik's low cross from the left somehow finds its way across the goal. And Stepanovski, who's only been on the pitch for 2 minutes, lashes it home from a very
tight angle
into the roof of the net.
And he's overjoyed and he does the Gareth Bale.
Yeah, the little heart thing with his hands to the no people in the stands.
Well, there were, weren't there? They had
not at that part of the stadium, there weren't. But.
Yeah, I mean, even in front of about 10 people, I don't know if I would be brave enough to ever celebrate in front of Banik Ostrava fans in a red shirt.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, 1-1, a point gained. And it's one of those where, you know, we looked good against Slovacko, we got a point against Banik. What did we do at home to the team we needed to beat?
When it mattered. Just,
yeah. Oh. Anyway,
I've not actually looked this up for the podcast or for previews, but it wouldn't surprise me if we still have the worst record in top flight Czech football for home.
At home, I have no doubt we're going to be well up there for that. Yeah,
yeah, and you know we've got four more matches to play now.
Yeah, two home, two away.
Two home and two away, and the ones that are at home are the ones that are the ones that we really, really need to win to have any chance.
It's Boleslav and Opava.
This is it. We'll probably talk about this more in the previews and things like that. But we've now got to the stage of the season where we need two home wins and we need a result against either Slovan Liberec or Sparta Prague.
Yeah.
Woo! Fucking strap yourself in, boys. It's going to be a non-event, but you know, you still live in hope and you still try out, don't you? There's a chance we can save it, but that chance is looking remote.
Do you want a railway station jingle?
I'd love that.
So the main railway station in Ostrava, which we have sprinted through a couple of times trying to get train connections.
Yeah, to clubs not in Ostrava.
Yeah, Trinets most memorably, when I think we ran through and picked up a bunch of train beers in under 3 minutes from one side of the station to the other. Hell of an effort.
Need to
still miss most of the first half, mine, but still.
Need to get back in Premier League shape for the, for the next season.
Some station sprinting, yeah. Anyway, Ostrava's railway station jingle. The recording of this, unfortunately, is a horrible, horrible recording, but the actual piece that it's from is very nice. The actual piece that it's from is called Pilki, which means sores, S-A-W-S, not S-O-R-E-S.
Uh-huh.
It's a piece by Brno native and professional 19th century hipster Leos Janáček.
Oh, great. Do we have a lad from Brno that used to do the jingles in Ostrava?
Yep.
Why do they do away with them?
Tiny victories. I'll tell you why this was chosen. It's the final dance of the six Lachian dances, which were Janáček's arrangements of six traditional folk dances of the Moravian Wallachia region. So the bit around Setín and Valašské Meziříčí. So like up towards Ostrava on the Slovak border there. Six dances moving from May Day ribbons through various motifs representing sections of village and peasant life, ending with Pilki, the sores, which is supposed to reflect the people chopping wood for the beginning of winter. He was an interesting bloke, Leos Janáček, actually.
Yeah, he doesn't know the difference between a saw and an axe.
You can cut wood with a saw.
Yeah, you can't chop it.
Yeah, all right.
broyoffcast@gmail.com if you want to complain about that.
Yeah.
Who's that pedantic fuck on the podcast?
Weirdly, it's normally me.
Yeah,
he was an interesting bloke, old Janáček. He was born in Hukvaldi, which is one of my favourite place names in the whole country.
What the fuck's that?
I don't know. Moravia, I assume, somewhere. But basically, he was schooled in Brno at the Abbey of St. Thomas, which is the one on Mendlark. And he learned to play the piano and the organ and various other things. And he basically spent his life living here, writing, composing and teaching at various music schools. But he was pissed off at being seen as kind of a yokel. Like, people in Prague just thought he was some kind of, you know, Moravian bumpkin and so forth. He tried to get his stuff played in Prague. They didn't really want it. They didn't really like it. And then even when they did, he got huffy because they wanted him to make changes to, you know, satisfy the whims of, you know, the rich people up in Prague who were actually paying to go and see this stuff. He had a pretty tragic life. He had three children. Two of them died. His son died in 1890. His daughter died in 1903, and his feelings for her resulted in Yenufa, which was an opera which he wrote, or he was writing before she died, and then it became a kind of conduit for his love for her after she had died. And after she had died and nobody would take this opera, he basically went a bit off the rails. Mm-hmm. He spent 12 years in and out of kind of, you know, spas, mm-hmm. you know, asylums and spas and things. It took him, 12 years of that. In total, it took him 16 years to get it premiered in Prague. And that was his first big work to be premiered in Prague at the age of 62. He got his big break, which was this one. And when he went up to Prague at the age of 62, when he finally sort of became famous in the capital, he went a bit late life crisis. Uh-huh. He'd been quite happily married up until this point, yeah. Then had an affair with a member of the opera company, and then went a bit nuts for a married woman who was 38 years younger than him, resulting in his actual wife attempting suicide, the embarrassment of which was so big for both of them. He wanted a divorce, but she thought this was more of an embarrassment than her attempted suicide, so wouldn't grant him his divorce. So they lived in the same house but apart, while he wrote over 700 impassioned love letters to this, like, way, way, way younger girl he was trying to get on the side.
Fuck's sake.
Anyway, that's the story of Leos Janáček.
You know why I'm imagining him like Richard Dostalek, man? in his wee bobble hat going, I don't know how to write a love letter. It's like, you're younger than me, want to ride me or something like that. I don't know what to write.
You turn me down. I'm disappointed. If I knew what I could do to change it, I would, but I can't. Love from Richard. Anyway, this is the not particularly good recording of the railway station jingle. And this is a bit from Pilky, The Sores by Leos Janáček. There you go.
Yeah.
Happy with that? Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Stirring.
Just, you know, your typical sort of
sawing song.
Yeah, late 19th century folk, you know, mm-hmm. Classical versions of folk standards. Yeah. Moravian Wallachian folk standards.
There you go. More classics from Horny on Main's very own Leos Janáček.
Yes.
Did they have horny jail back in the day?
Yes, it was known as Hookvaldi.
Hey.
Hot or Nots after this, I think, shall we?
Sure.
It's time we did Hot or Not. 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 But it's gonna take knowledge. A whole lot of football knowledge. Yes.
Yes. So
easy one this week.
One that I appreciate the easy one because I think I was on a three podcast losing streak on this.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know if it is bracket or not bracket, but I think it's bracket. I got my mind, closed bracket, set on you. Made popular.
Yes.
By George Harrison, because I can't remember who originally did it.
Yes, but yeah, you're right. Very good.
Love the video. He's just sitting there with a Telecaster and he's got stuffed bears on the wall and stuff like that. They're just singing along.
Yeah, that's cute, right, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? So, one each do you have?
I have a hot and a not, yes.
Okay, good. I've got two knots and a hot. I'll start with my fairly flippant knot.
Good.
Henus VIII.
Right, okay. Hennis, the goat that's the Köln
mascot.
That's
right, well done.
Okay.
Yes. Well done for knowing that. That is, well, I mean, you know, you're good on your mascot, so excellent mascot knowledge there.
Go on, give me Hennis the Eighth I Am, Hennis the Eighth I Am.
He died.
He died, he died. He died.
Yeah.
God, it's been a really crap season for Köln, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Are they still looking like they might go down?
They're there or thereabouts, I think.
They keep floating about, don't they?
Yeah, it's Schalke plus one plus playoff, isn't it, now? Because Schalke are officially down 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
I mean, there's still banter potential in the Zweite Bundesliga because Hamburg look like they're fucking tanking again.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm Hennis the Eighth I Am, as you rightly said.
Is there a successor?
Yes, Hennis the Ninth, well, obviously. Sure. But, yeah, there is. He actually, he hadn't been the mascot for a while now. He'd been put into retirement because he was getting on a bit and Hennis the Ninth took over, I think, for the start of this season. But he was the longest-serving Hennis.
Uh-huh.
Longest-serving Hennis. Did I say that correctly? I think I did. yeah, he was an absolute legend at the old Mungesdorfer there. He he even, and this is remarkable, he even featured in a Köln based police procedural detective show as a murder victim.
Really?
There was an episode of TV series SK Kölsch, named after the famous beer of Köln, in which somebody kidnaps and kills Hennis the goat. And there is a, investigation of the Köln police.
And I bet you that had a better ending than Line of Duty.
I'm still unaware, basically, of anything to do with that show.
Oh, yeah, so. Me as well. But I was on Facebook on, like, Sunday night or whatever, and half of my Facebook was absolutely raging. Very much in the same way. Remember when The Sopranos ended, and everyone was like, the fuck was that?
Game of Thrones,
like
the same. Again, again, never saw that, but people like, what? The thing is, when you build stuff up like this in your head, it's never going to be as good as, you know, you think it is.
You know. Didn't Line of Duty, that had gone for like fucking like years and years and years.
9 years or something.
Man, like, I mean, you could have saved yourself 9 years. I could have told you, like, fucking the police are horribly corrupt. Like, there you go, saved you watching it.
Fair enough. Right, anyway, yeah, that was you dropped your notes then.
I dropped his notes. Yeah,
so that was your eighth old goat called Hennis. Yeah. Hennis the Eighth, he was. Right.
An ex-Hennis.
Yeah. Anyone for Hennis? Anymore?
No, not right now. Right, not without horrible hang time on the air.
All right, fine. Yeah, give me one of yours.
Right, I'll go for the hot then. I will go, he says, touching the mic by mistake there. I will go for Jiří Procházka as my hot. Perhaps the most well-known, or dare I say, celebrities Brojovka Brno fan
right,
at the moment.
Yes.
Jiří Procházka, you know, nothing to do with football really, but he is his Brojovka supporter. Excellent fight on Saturday night in Vegas, headlined against Dominic Reyes in the light heavyweight division. Fucking two rounds of just absolutely like hammering each other, and then floors the boy with a spinning elbow.
Good.
So
isn't his... Doesn't he have, like, a girl's name as a nickname?
Denisa. Because apparently, like, when he was, like, at an old gym or something like that, or, you know, one of these things, like, someone shouted Denisa, and he went up thinking it was him, because Denisa, Prokhaska.
Right, okay.
Or Yirka, I don't know. But, yeah, so from Hostia Radice in, you know, close to Znojemski region. And was, I believe, at one point or another, associated in a younger life with our Hools.
What is that? Not surprising.
Street Fighters number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now is making a lot of money, just like absolutely kicking the shit out of people. And he's two fights he's had now in the UFC, and he's going to get a title shot now, for sure. The winner of the Błachowicz Teixeira fight.
Well, way to... you know, monetize a youth of, you know, hooliganism and terrorism.
I mean, better that he's kicking the country at
some point in
a ring. For, like, he earned $100,000 in bonuses alone for performance of the night and part of fight of the night. Nice life.
Well done.
At the same time, do I ever want to get punched in the face for money?
No.
be a lot of money, I suppose.
Yeah.
So well done to yeah. Jiří Procházka.
And we could have got it done for free had we been able to go to Ostrava. You know what I mean?
Hey, so. Yeah, yeah. Fucking cruising around Peru back on. Yeah. someone want a knuckle sandwich, here I am.
Yeah. I've got another knot for you.
Go on.
It's a very serious one. It might be a similar to one you've got as a knot. Okay. And it is David Cox.
This is exactly my knot as well.
Do you have
well.
This for your knot?
You took the Scottish football knot from me.
Right. Now, what I'm going to do is, I've actually, earlier today, I did a 2-minute edit of his 6-minute like self-recorded statement.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to play that, if that's all right.
Yeah.
And then we can talk a little bit about, like very briefly about it afterwards, because I think he basically says all you need to know on this one. So, this is Albion Rovers' David Cox.
It's currently second half just starting. Albion Rovers at Stenhouse Muir. And I have left the stadium. I wasn't playing the night, I was on the bench. One of the boys when the Stenhouse team were having a wee bit of fucking to and fro on the bench, and they had a wee another go at my mental health. Told me I should have done it right the first time. So I promised myself that the next time it happens, I'll walk off the park. Obviously, I wasn't playing, so I am done with football. I'm not an angel. I say shit to folk. We all call each other dicks and cunts and fucking arseholes, and we're pricks and we're this and we're that, and we smash each other in tackles. But if we got them going, mate, I can deal with that stuff. But I would never mock somebody for trying to kill themselves and telling them they should have done it right the first time. And I don't even know, man. Like, why do I walk away? Am I walking away because of me? Because I'm upset? No. These things are going to keep happening. And I promised myself that I would walk off the pitch the next time it happened. Obviously, I wasn't playing the night, so it's funny as well, because I'm not even going to say it. The boy. Scott Tiffany. Stenhouse Muir. You're a fucking little rat. And once he was called out in it, he absolutely shot himself. Knew what he'd said and tried to deny it. For me, nothing's going to get done about it, probably. Again, it'll come down to the whole he said this, I said that. I didn't say this, who heard me saying it, prove it, kind of thing. It's happening now with racism and all this fucking shit, but nothing gets done about it, nothing's going to get done about it. Football are full of shite with everything that they say, and it's going to continue to happen. So I'm done hanging the boots up for good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs, really.
This thing annoys me on a number of levels, this whole thing. Obviously, the most important one of that is that there is a mental health crisis amongst young men, especially like Scottish men, for example. And I'm all for taking the piss at a football match, right? But like the idea that you reference somebody's suicide attempt when he's not even on the pitch, like Cox is on the bench for this game.
Yeah,
it's just like
and somebody goes out of their way to bring I mean. You know, he says it himself there. He says, you know, on the pitch, you call people a dick, you call people a fucker, but they're a, you know, you don't, come on.
Yeah, this is, I saw something on Pine Bovril that made a lot of sense to me, right? Because also, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think this matters if he was or if he wasn't, but Jonathan Tiffany, Stenhouse Muir, who's club captain for fucking, I have no idea reasons, is on the sex offenders register. And there are quite a few of these lads in
Scotland. Seems like a lovely chat, by the way.
Well, there's quite a
lot. Tell you what, fucking hell.
There's quite a lot of people like that in Scottish football. Probably the most notorious example of that right now is David Goodwillie at Clyde, right? Who is, for all intents and purposes, a rapist. So when these guys come back into football from the back of this or back of that sort of, I mean, I'm going to use this term really fucking gently, but controversy. These lads are probably going to expect that for 90 minutes you're going to have people in the terraces like basically giving you sticks, shouting you, having a go for being a sex offender, right? That's an entirely different kettle of fish for, you know, someone then saying that you should have finished, you know, finished your job right, you know, of trying to kill yourself.
Yeah.
It's a massive difference. And this is, again, coming into the spotlight because this has been reported to the SFA. And it is going to be, you know, he said this, he said this, and then you do this on the balance of probability and stuff. The same way as, you know, the Ondra Kudela situation with Rangers and Slavia Prague. And it's like nothing is getting done about this and nothing really will get done about this, unfortunately. The secondary thing that really annoys me about this is that it's going to do really bad stuff for the reputation of Stenhouse Muir Football Club, who are a small community football club who do a lot of stuff. Like, they're a community interest club, so it's all done on, but you know, behalf of the community. They've got they play on you know, like one of these hybrid pitches, so youth groups and, you know, all the teams and stuff can play. You can rent their pitch when it's, you know, it's not on and the team's not training and things like that. And then they were doing a lot during the lockdown as well, like providing meals to vulnerable people in the community who, you know, couldn't get out of their houses because of lockdown and stuff like that. And like, again, you know, there are questions about ethics of signing somebody like that anyway, and certainly making him, you know, club captain. But to, you know, for your behavior on the pitch to basically like undo so much good work that's happening at community level in local football is really quite scandalous for me. And Scottish football is based on these community clubs. That's what makes Scottish football great. And to sort of like undo all that and to get, you know, headlines, you know, in the rest of the UK or, you know, even overseas and stuff for that sort of stuff is just fucking mindless. So I, obviously I'm not there and I was not witness to this and stuff. I would be absolutely shocked if Jonathan Tiffany didn't say this, and they should the club should boot him out as soon as possible.
Hear, hear. Anyway.
Yeah, quite a sad one, actually.
Yeah. Have you got any more? I've got my hot left.
Okay. Oh, that's good, because we're ending on a hot.
Yeah, and this is a very, very quick, very silly one.
Oh, great. I'm into this.
My hot is Chelsea midfielder Mateo Kovacic.
Tell me more.
The social media blackout from all clubs and players over the weekend as a stand against the endless torrent of racist abuse and sexist abuse that comes over social media happened over the weekend.
Oh, we can add mental health stuff to that as well.
Yeah, we can add mental health stuff to that. Anyway, Mateo Kovacic didn't have a Twitter account, but he signed up anyway purely so he could shut it down for the weekend.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that very much.
I thought that was very cute.
That was great. Get a Twitter.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter, please.
That's Roofcast. Yeah.
Need those numbers.
Anyway, yeah, that's hot or not.
Can we just have we're probably going to run over anyway. Can I just have a bonus not as well for Manchester United fans? Just out there. I'm so into getting your usual good football men and your fourth estate pricks wound up by, you know, coming to a pinnacle of, you know, quite a big campaign to get actual change out of your club and to make it a bit more in the interest of the community. So, you know, if you're in a supporting that club and you're in that sort of position, fucking get games postponed, mate.
Yeah,
like, get onto the pitch. None of this sort of, there's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do this. The wrong way to do this just means these lads keep making money and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, fuck them all. Just say fuck them all up the Dons.
Well, that too. Anyway, back to unfortunate reality.
God,
next.
Do you want a preview?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, we want one, but there's one coming.
Let's have a preview and a beer.
All right.
Yes, it's previews time, everybody's favourites, because I'm going to preview some matches that we're probably going to lose. So we're up against Mladá Boleslav.
We are, yeah.
And we are at home to Mladá Boleslav after a 1-1 draw at December, I think it was? Or no, just when we got back, January, I think. We had a reasonably bad 1-1 with them in Boleslav.
We might be going.
Yes, that's
imagine
a good
that.
Point. I forgot to even mention that in the preview. There's 600.
We might be going, boys.
600 seats available, I think, for this, which yeah. will go out to season ticket holders who must have a test and yeah, fill out a form.
The whole league has been quite strict about this. It's 10% of the stadium's capacity. That's including all other, like, players, staff, TV crews, whoever else is there, ground staff, security, etc. And you need an antigen or a PCR test, no older than 48 hours. You need your season ticket, you need your ID, you need masks on, you need a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and the club was going to contact everyone that's on the database of season ticket holders and basically go, do you want to go? And then if there is more than 600 people that want to go, it will go to presumably a lottery.
It's first 600.
Is it first 600 that get back?
Sit on your laptop tomorrow. Around
noon.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's mildly exciting. Mm-hmm.
Do you want a line that I never thought I'd utter ever on this podcast?
Yes.
Don't you wish you were Mladá Boleslav?
Absolutely not, but carry on.
Well, okay, hear me out on this one. So,
the boys from the Škoda works.
Going to... Yeah. Not like those losers in Stará Boleslav. So going into the start of the year, right, we were both pretty much dead level. We were both on 10 points each. Both looked pretty hopeless, had a similar goal difference. I think that they were minus 12, we were minus 15. The difference in approach and attitude since then has been absolutely striking. So now with four matches to go, Boleslav, I'm going to pretty much say are safe. Mm-hmm. 8 points clear of the relegation zone. They've scored 20 goals since the point of comparison. That's 12 more than us. And they've won when it mattered, which we just don't do. Obviously, the win against Slovácko at the weekend was huge, but they've beaten teams like Karvina, Budějovice when they needed to, and they beat a NAF Teplice side, which we haven't been able to get close to in three attempts.
Yeah, as you said, beating the teams they should be beating. Yeah, which is
And then how many players have we actually brought in, and how many of them have actually been useful? Would be the next thing that I'd say on this.
I'd say very few and very few.
Mm-hmm. They brought in eight,
and
a lot of these are decent players.
Yes, they realised in January we're going to get relegated here, and they did something about it.
Yeah,
what a revolutionary tactic!
I mean, I was just looking through the people that they got. Lazo Tokač, who they sold to Slavia, and then they've got him back on on loan. Tomáš Malinský again from Slavia. He had years playing decent football at Slovan.
Mm.
And obviously, right, the ones that we have to talk about a little bit, right? Jaromír Zmrhal.
Mm-hmm.
So Brescia paid Slavia 3.75 million euros for him less than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone, also talking about Jiří Skalák.
Yes, well, former Brighton and Fulham, well, not Fulham favourite, but definitely Brighton favourite, Jiří Skalák.
I mean, if nothing else, that's
boost to the squad. He's not even, he's what, 30-odd?
Yeah.
Yeah, cracking player.
Yeah. I was having a look at this on, just for the funsies of it, how they do a sort of an estimation of squad value on Transfermarkt,
mm-hmm.
fourth.
Okay.
Technically, with all these players or whatever, like Mladá Boleslav are worth something like 13 million euros.
Nice.
It's just crazy. Like, so,
whereas we're worth 13 million crowns.
I think we're worth five and a bit or something like that, which I thought was generous. So just go back down to it, right? They still have to play Sparta, but...
So do we.
Yeah. But they've also... I mean, they've got, quite a nice, easy, way. So they've got to play us, we're shite. Then, they've got Sparta, and then they've got the Bohemians and Sigma. Sigma Olomouc, who I've just really not rated this season at all.
Two teams who are also on the beach at this point as well.
That Sigma team, a team that just cannot hold on to a lead.
No.
It's terrible. So, if we're going to... So basically what I'm saying is that... they're right in form. This is the Boleslav team that was it Boleslav that did Cheska Budějovice by scoring in the 90 plus 5 and 90 plus 7 to win 3-1. This sort of stuff. Like, so if we're going to have a way out of this, we need 3 points against them. If not, that can we just finally just us, say that's it? It's the because the issue I have, right, is that we have to take, we have to make up 4 points. It's still a miracle, by the way, that we are within 4 points.
Absolutely,
Of Teplice. After and this is, the weeks that we've had.
And this is nothing to do with us. This is just the incompetence of the teams around us.
Yeah. And this is why we're fucked, right? This is why we're fucked. Because do you know what Teplice's run is, by the way?
It's going to be something horrendously easy, isn't it?
Yeah, so we've got... All right, so we've got Mladá Boleslav. We have got...
Slovan
Liberec. I should know, I did a preview, right? Slovan Liberec, Opava, and Sparta on the final day. They have a tough Friday night away to Jablonec, which will probably yield nothing. Then they're playing Dinamo at home, and Dinamo have just slid recently. Dinamo look absolutely rubbish. We played them at the right time. The only team we could really beat, to be honest. They're away at Karvina, and then they've got a final home game against Pšibram. That's a really
it's
nice...
It's a walk, isn't it? Yeah.
Bite off your arm for that last four, honestly. So we have to find a way to get 4 points and then do something else. So we need to beat Opava. We need to beat Boleslav. And to be honest... To have any chance, we need to beat Slovan Liberec and potentially then draw against Sparta. It's I don't see it.
Mm.
I think the bell tolls for the
yes, yeah.
There is one more preview, but do you want a beer first?
I absolutely do. Yes, yeah. Let's do that. Beer of the podcast!
And am I excited, David?
Yeah, I thought this would get you quite excited. It's very much your sort of thing, isn't it?
It looks like a stout or a porter.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
It is.
And you can get this yourselves from Rolik, which is also... Yes, so that's nice to know, isn't it? This is Maisel & Friends' Mark's Chocolate Bock.
Uh-huh.
You can see it there. Bock. You can't see this, listener, but I'm showing in this very classy label. Mark's Chocolate Bock. Unsere zartbittere Interpretation eines irischen Stouts. So, yeah, there you go. They're attempted an Irish stout. It says it's... From starkem Charakter, from a strong character.
Well, that's me.
Yeah. Kraftvoll, vielschichtig und ausgewogen. Aromen von gestürzten Malz, verbunden mit einem karamelliger Süße.
So is this a German's attempt at a stout?
Certainly is.
It'll be strong then.
I don't think it's... Oh, your Christ, yes it is. Misread that. 7.5% alcohol.
Right, so we're talking like Russian Imperial Stout.
We are, yeah. We're looking at like a 16-degree, 18-degree maybe.
So, what we're looking at, David, is a good time.
Yes. So anyway, let's have
chocolate bock.
A Mark's Chocolate Bock.
Oh yeah, that's ticking all the boxes for me,
is,
man.
That is coffee and chocolate all the way through, isn't it, that, on the smell. Oh, it smells like... It smells a bit like those like coffee quality streets, but with a slight bitterness to it. What do you reckon? You're just nodding really happily.
That's great. other listeners might remember this, but do you remember it was?
It's got such a coffee aftertaste. It was. It really does, doesn't it?
Intense.
I don't even like coffee. I fucking hate coffee, but that's really nice.
Do you remember, like, was it last summer or the summer before? We were, or sort of tail end of summer, and we were due to do a podcast. And on the way to yours from work at the time, I stopped off at the beer festival, ended up drinking stout for 2 hours, and absolutely shit-faced, and we had to re-record half the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, this is giving me vibes of what I was drinking at the time. Like, and you can see why I stayed. This is just lovely. It's got that sort of thick sort of...
Yeah.
And it's got a really sort of, it's got a really good nose on it.
The end is, it's almost prickly on your tongue, the end. It's really, That is something else, that man.
It tastes, yeah, that finish, man. It tastes strong.
That's really good.
I mean,
I don't even like this sort of thing, and that is like just as a connoisseur of beer and what you can do with flavour and subtlety and layers and aftertaste, my God, that's good.
And I think that you should get that in dark beers, like these sort of dark beers mostly. I mean, it's not my absolute favourite stout type. I'd always go for like a milk stout or an oatmeal stout, but that is just, it's just fantastic, isn't it? It's an accidental one. It's one that you go and you have a pint of and then you have three of and then you go, oh, legs a wee bit wobbly now.
Yeah,
or my time at the Paisley Beer Festival. So yeah, well done on this, fantastic.
Yeah, anyway, that's I think it's 139 crowns for 750 mil on Rolik.
I'm getting so, on Rolik now, yeah. Man. I'm running out of that. I'm running out of my steam brews.
Right.
From Lidl. So
yeah. Anyway, yeah, there you go then. After that bit of joy, do you want some not joy? Should we have our final preview?
Let's get this one. Right, and finishing our podcast on a low note, as always, we're a slow note.
Yeah,
we've got Friday the 14th, though it might as well be a 13th, as we take on Slovan Liberec away, which is your proverbial tough place to go.
One of my favourite grounds, though.
I love Unisi.
Yeah.
It's unique in Czech football.
It's picturesque. It's close enough to the centre to get to.
It's beside the waterside.
Yeah,
good pub beside it.
Yeah. Lovely.
Team is well supported by the town.
Yeah.
It's hard to sort of dislike Slovan. I'm not going to talk about them, really. I'm going to say that it's a really interesting position up at the top. Because you have three teams fighting it out for fourth, which will be the last European spot. But actually, you should see... two of those teams are going to get Europe anyway, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you have, I think Slovácko kind of fell down to fourth now, I think, after the weekend. So you've got Plzeň, who I think are sort of fifth or sixth. It's like 3 points between them, Victoria Plzeň and Slovan,
mm-hmm.
Up there. Plzeň are going to get to Europe anyway because they're in the final of the cup, and the other semi-final, which I think is actually going to be played on Wednesday, is a Prague derby.
Yeah, despite them getting absolutely thumped by Slavia for Slavia to win the title, was it 5-1,
which is also the scoreline that they got thumped by when Slavia won a title before, I think, as well. Yeah. That's just an outlier. Slavia play well against absolutely everyone except Zbrojovka.
Yeah, what a weird thing to think about. Yeah, it's true.
It's really weird, because this might be... you know, seen a slightly disappointing season for Slovan, even though they could sort of easily get fourth because they were in Europe. They were in the group stages of the Europa League. They were maybe going to kick on. You have John Mascara, who absolutely tore us a new one when they convincingly beat us 3-0, I believe, earlier on in the year. So it's really, for Europe, it's going to be a fight between them and Slovácko. I think that Slovan are actually going to do that.
Do you?
Yeah, I think that Slovan will make up the 3 points that's required and get that final European spot because it will, again, go down, I think, if Plzeň finish there and they've already got Europe, et cetera, et cetera.
They've got the hashtag experience of doing it at this stage of the season.
Well, this is it. It would be so much fun if Slovácko, but just to see what they can do, in Europe, which will be, if it's anything like most Czech teams that aren't the Prague boys, which will be embarrassingly going out to a bunch of Armenian taxi drivers or something like that. but we'll see.
Says the Aberdeen fan.
Shut up. The only thing that I put down, which was because we played Slovan in January, sort of turn of February-ish, where we'd already seen who they'd sort of brought in. The only person that they've brought in is Jakub Nečas from Bohemians since then.
Right.
So we're going to be looking at pretty much the same squad.
Side, yeah.
They're doing reasonably well. beating teams, losing to teams, drawing to teams, and you know,
all the scores, 1-0, 2-1.
I'll be honest, I'm just rambling now because I want to get back into more of the stout. So right. All I'm going to say is that this game could very easily be a dead rubber if we don't get a result against Boleslav.
Yep.
And at that point, it's just, well, fuck it, enjoy the last three games.
Back into the stout, yeah.
And he says, dropping the notes on the floor. The one good thing, of course, and this is the bonus hot to finish us off, is that Hradec Králové need 3 points from 4 games to officially win the second league and to get promoted, which means that the Panelac boys of SK Líšeň will not be using our stadium next season.
Yes.
We will be playing them next season, and we will be beating them again next season. And fuck that Twitter account. That's all we've got time for on Sporovcast.
It certainly is, yeah. Right, thanks very much. Follow us on all the socials, at Sporovcast on wherever you get your socials. And, yeah, listen in when, wherever you get your audio. Tell all your mates, you know, at least those you feel like punishing in some way. And that will be it until we possibly meet again, possibly relegated next time we talk to you.
It's crunch time. Let's see what happens, eh?
Yeah. Right. Cheers. Thanks for listening then.
Bye. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. Got my mind set on you. But it's gonna take money. A whole lot of spending money. It's gonna take plenty of money to do it right, child. It's gonna take
money.